Livewire with Jason Moyle.
Hello, I'm Jason from the Livewire team. Welcome to the show. And my guest today is hit recording artist from the 90s. This is Betty Boo. Hello, Betty.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. So, yes, you're back after 30 years recording, that is, because you have been not been away from the music industry. You've just not been recording. So tell us a little bit about why you came back.
Oh, well, okay. So I before lockdown, I was approaching a big birthday, the big 50, and I suddenly thought, well, if I don't start my, you know, making music for myself again, I'll never do it. So this is before lockdown. And so afterwards, when lockdown happened, my producer, co-producer and co-writer, Andy Wright, said, well, let's just do it in isolation and we can just get on and chip away. And that's what we did. And I'm sort of two albums later, actually, so because that was nearly 2 years ago. So, yeah, so we're just, and what emerged from that is Get Me to the Weekend, which is my new single.
Yeah, so let's talk about that straight away, because it's a brilliant new single, I've got to say. And I love the sample of Human League in there as well. So did you just play the record and thought, actually, I want a sample, and you thought of what sample you wanted for it?
Well, no, actually, because what we did is we wrote this song, Get Me to the Weekend, because we were inspired by the fact that, you know, nobody was doing anything at the weekend as such, not in the traditional sense anyway. Yeah. So we wanted to capture what it was like again, to go back to how it was and going away, maybe just taking a drive somewhere or just going out. And anyway, so we wrote the song in its entirety, and when we were able to see each other again, which, you know, because the laws had relaxed a little bit, we went back into the studio and we were just playing music, just mucking around, really. And then we thought, we listened to Get Me to the Weekend. We thought, you know what would sound really fun there is Love Action by Human League. So we tried it out just to have a little bit of a laugh. And so it really worked, and it kind of took it up to another level, really. From just being this song that we'd written to just this kind of mass, like a mashup almost.
Yeah, it certainly works. And it's really a beat song as well. And it's a great song to come back to. And it was, as you said, produced by Andy Wright and Gavin Goldberg and yourself. And so yes. you've actually, you said, got some more material lined up as well. You said almost two albums worth, you just said. So are we expecting a lot more?
Yeah, this is it. It's been such a long time. I figured, you know, I've just got to keep releasing new music and just get out there again. And I'm really, really keen for everyone to hear it. And I'm really ready. It wasn't really the right time before. I just suddenly thought to myself, you know, I thought maybe being a bit older is going to hold me back and stuff like that. But really, it shouldn't matter. I mean, I was inspired by Rick Astley, actually, because I do some festivals, some of these retro festivals, and he does them as well. And he just thought, well, I'm just going to make some new music. And I thought, well, why can't I do that? So, yeah, that's how it all came about as well.
Because you obviously started back in the mid to late 80s. You actually started in a trio, didn't you, at the She Rockers. Back in 87, and then went on part of the Beatmasters. I featured the Beatmasters song, Hey DJ, I Can't Dance to That. So obviously that was a big time for you, and you had a lot of success over those years. Obviously toured with people like Public Enemy as well, so that must have been a real experience to start with in your career.
Well, it was. Working with Public Enemy when I was 17 was definitely an amazing experience, and we went over to New York to work with them a bit, and they said, come on, do a couple of shows with us. So we did some, and it was great. I like to call it like an apprenticeship, because I left my A-levels to see, and I had to sort of justify it in some way. And then, you know, when I came back from doing that, it sort of inspired me to, because I love pop music so much, I just wanted to write and produce my own music. And but I was very lucky to be asked by the Beatmasters to feature on one of their records, because there was a new genre that was out called Hip House, and they'd already established themselves as these sort of artists, and they had some success and with the Cookie Crew and another artist called MC Merlin. So to be asked by them to do something with them was great. And so I just went down to the studio in Shoreditch and in London, and they asked me to rap a few verses, and so I did 16 bars and they loved it. And the next thing I knew, I was promoting it with them, doing Top of the Pop, smash hits and that kind of thing, and traveling and performing song. So that was like a stepping stone, if you like, to move on into my solo stuff, which then went on to be Doing the Do and Where I Baby and my Boomania album.
Yes, so you were, as I say, you were huge since 1990 to 1992, and then obviously took a step away from the actual performing side of it, but you're always writing. Of course, you're an Ivor Novello Award winner with Hearsay's Pure and Simple. So did you just take a decision to take a step back from performing back then and therefore just concentrate on the songwriting?
Well, back in the day, it wasn't really, as soon as you stopped performing, if you're a pop star, I mean, but this is a while back, you know, if you're over 25, you're sort of over the hill a little bit, or a bit like a supermodel or a footballer, you know. That isn't the case nowadays for anything, because I think anything goes. So I just didn't think it would be, I didn't feel like a pop star anymore. I just, you know, it was something I did when I was younger. That's what I thought. But writing for other people did help me kind of stick with what I knew. I couldn't do anything else. So apart from play tennis, of course, I took up tennis and I play every day, twice a day sometimes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. it's my thing with music, you know, together with music. It's of my life, really.
So out of the two, obviously songwriting is very important and performing, what would you say is, would you like them equally, or do you think songwriting or performing better, or what would you say is your favorite out of the two?
I love writing like my own material. I've really got to like it and get, it's been a while since I've been writing with that sort of headspace, and it's been really good fun, actually, because it's been a bit of escapism. And I think, I know I wasn't quite sure if I would be able to make a record, you know, because it's, you've got to start somewhere. That's the thing. I remember listening to an interview with Sting a few months back, and he wasn't quite sure. Whenever he starts writing, he's never quite sure if he's got another song in him. And his philosophy is that you just have to turn up and work and try something, and then you just don't know where it's going to take you. And I use that advice, and I think it's good advice, because you just don't know where things can, you just got to give things a go. And I've really enjoyed making this music and this album. And,
yeah. Well, I say two albums worth of material. So when did that start? Did you start writing that in lockdown, or were you writing before lockdown for that?
Well, we started writing before lockdown. So Andy and I, we thought we've just got to keep going and keep writing. And because I've got a studio at home, so I could record and edit my own vocals and things, I was able to just send my ideas to him, and then he would work on stuff and then send it back to me. And then there'd be work in progress, and then I'd do some more recording and editing and then send it back to him. And that's how and then Gavin would mix it. And it was a great way of working, actually, because I was able to, because I live in the countryside now, and I was able to walk in the fields and things like that, and not see anybody. And, you know, it really got in sort of in touch with who I was again, and as an artist. And because writing for other people, you're sort of like, you're involving yourself in the way that they live and how they write and how they think. Whereas I had to sort of get into my own head again.
That's interesting, because you said writing for other people is different from writing for yourself. So when you write for other people, you're obviously trying to get into their headspace, but then you've got to try and get back into the way you want to write for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. And often I used to find, actually, writing with other people, that sometimes some of the things that I would call Betty Boo style sort of writing would actually sort of creep through, but then it wouldn't work for them, because, you know, they're not like me, or, you know, they're not rappers, or they're So yeah, it was. It's been cathartic actually, and it's almost like the record I should have made when I gave up when I was 25. It's kind of, it's got the same influences. It's got 90s vibes. It's got lots of break beats, lots of samples here and there. I'd say it's a really nice soundscape. It's got lots of textures and it's very different to. It's just very unique to me. And I think if anyone liked my records before, that I think they'll like this as well.
So is the album very similar to the single, or is there different elements to the album?
Well, there are lots of different influences on my new album. This is up. Get Me to the Weekend is a very upbeat, I'd say, dancey record. And there's some sort of hip-hop-y elements to some of the tunes in there. And disco-y songs. It's just great music. There's lots of instruments played. I didn't play the instruments, but there's lots of lovely guitar riffs and bass lines. But overall, it's a very uplifting, positive record. I mean, there aren't any ballads, for instance, on there. But just really good fun, because I think that's what my character Betty Boo was like back in the day. And this is what I wanted to capture again.
Okay, and when can we expect the album?
I'd like to release a couple more singles after this one. And then the album is set to be released early summer. Brilliant. And I'll be doing lots of festivals and shows and getting out there and seeing people again. And it's going to be a really good year.
Okay, and is there a new video for this single?
Yeah, there's a video called Forget Me to the Weekend. It's a very 90s influenced video, as I always take the mickey out of myself, so I'm stuck in the 90s. So it's got I've got a couple of dancers in there who I call my booettes, because I used to have booettes back in the day, and they're wearing pink wigs, and we're just having a little bit of a dance around. And it's available on iTunes.
Okay, so the new single's out now, obviously, and also, have you got social media and websites where people can get in contact with you in that way?
Yes, I've got. I launched a website last week, which is Official Betty Boo, and I've got I'm on Instagram as well, and Twitter, and I've got a Facebook page. So all the usual platforms.
Oh, that's brilliant! And also, you can probably get all your retro videos and the new one on YouTube as well.
Yeah, that's right. And I've got the links on my new website, and also got some little bits of merchandise on there, which are selling quite well, because people think they like slogan T-shirts. So and they're getting ready for this summer. So yeah, it's just a really fun time, and everything's so different these days, with social media and reaching fans in a way that, in the old days, you just didn't know they were. They'd come and see you, maybe if you were opening an HMV store or doing a signing, that's the only way you'd meet people. But with today, it's great to be able to connect with everybody. It's really good fun.
The fans are closer, aren't they, with social media?
Yeah, that's right. And I love it. It's really, it's been nearly, 100% positive. I think lots of the general feeling is that people really like my music back in the day, and it sort of takes them back to being maybe 10, or maybe being at university or being at school. And a lot of girls have sort of have sent me messages saying that they got their hair cut in a bob like me, and that I kind of that I inspired them to do whatever they wanted to do. And because there weren't many girls writing, producing their own music back in the day when I was around, or certainly not DIY kind of bedroom. I was the only person that I knew that had a bedroom studio.
Well, it definitely took me back, because obviously I saw you actually at the Radio 1 Roadshow in Farnborough way back in, I think it was 90 or 91. So it's a long, long time ago, and they don't do Radio 1 Roadshows anymore. It's that's the kind of thing. It takes people back, and people reminisce about the old days. And the new single is very much, it's of the day, but it's also of yesterday as well. It's very much a retro look of the 90s. But would you like to introduce your new single, Betty?
So this is Get Me to the Weekend by me, Betty Boo.
Thank you so much, Betty.
Thank you. I can't wait to get with you. Get me to the weekend. Yeah, the weekend. I can't wait to get with you. Get me to the weekend. Yeah, the weekend. Gonna get with you. Yeah, gonna get with you. Get me to the weekend. The weekend. The weekend. Gonna get with you. Yeah. Get me to the weekend. The weekend. The weekend. I'll go anywhere with you. Fridays never feel so good. A celebration, a mini vacation is so cool.
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.